Father, I thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word. As always, brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. And I ask that that light will shine into every heart this morning. Bible says that light is sown for the righteous. And the way of the righteous gets better, shining better and better, more closer unto that perfect light, unto the perfect day. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this gathering today. Speak to us. Let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, wait just a little bit longer. I was actually going to do another lesson, but you know that Holy Spirit, he's the master. And he knows what he's doing. And, right before this room started, he said, no, this is what you're talking about today. So I believe it's for somebody. Glory to God. You know, wait just a little bit longer. It's just around the corner. God will never be late. Now, sometimes it looks like he's late. It looks like it's a long time waiting. And it looks like you think he's even dead. But, you know, 4 days after Lazarus was in the grave, he showed up. He could have showed up a couple of days earlier, or 4 days sooner, or maybe 5 days sooner, when the man was sick. And they asked, sent a message to him, "The man whom you love is sick." And their hope was, come on down and heal him. But he didn't. Oh, glory to God. And when he heard that Lazarus was sick, we're told, he abode 2 more days in the same place where he was. I mean, why in the world would you do that? The man whom you care about. I mean, Jesus loved that family, Lazarus and his 2 sisters, Mary and Martha. And he often visited them and so on. You know, so, but now the man is sick. I mean, wouldn't you hurry up, go down there and heal the man? No, he didn't. He waited 2 more days until the man was dead. But at the first, he said, well, the sickness is not unto death. But it was unto death. But it wasn't unto death. See, that's the mystery of God. You know, because Jesus said, it's not unto death. That means even if the death happened, he has the power to reverse it. Because his word has the final say. Hallelujah. The word that Jesus spoke was that this sickness is not unto death, but that the works of the Lord may be manifest and the Lord may be glorified. And I was glad for your sakes that I was not there, you know, but now he's dead. But nevertheless, let's go on to him. He's dead, but I thought you said he wouldn't be unto death. Anyway, don't worry about it. The Lord is going to show up. And when he shows up, well, the key question today is this. In the book of Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, the Lord tells us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he told some stories, you know, of examples of what it means for us to pray and not to faint. Never give up. Keep on believing and keep on asking. And the stories that he told, I mean, he said, look, if these things happen in a place where a judge who couldn't care about God has no compassion or empathy for anybody, but because he needed to get rid of the woman, he said, look, unless I do what she wants, she's going to wear me out. You know, I don't care about her cause. I don't fear God. You know, all these things don't bother me, but something is bothering me right now. This woman, she won't let me be. And if I, the only way to get rid of her, do what she wants. hallelujah. And Jesus said, look, hear what the unjust judge said. You know, this man who didn't care anything about God, but because he didn't want to be wearied, he had to do what the woman was asking. Because she would not let him be. You know, she would ask. They would send her away and she'd come back and ask again. And they would send her away and she'd come back and ask again. Hallelujah. And she held on and she kept asking. And Jesus said, I tell you what, God will come unto you. Well, sometimes it looks like he's bearing long with them, but he's going, I tell you, he will avenge you speedily. Now that's quickly. Hallelujah. And when it starts, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you've been waiting for it. I mean, it's been like, it's not coming, but it is coming. But when it starts, saith the Lord, it'll come like a flood. It'll just come like a flood. All of a sudden. Glory to God. My goodness. The Lord said, but when I finally show up, Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. This is where my lesson is at today. When the Lord finally shows up in your situation, will you still be at the point of faith? Or would you have run off? He said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, that's a lot more. It's a lot deeper than the translation of the rapture that we're waiting for. He's talking about praying. He's talking about you being consistent in prayer and not giving up. The example he's giving here is for the woman that kept asking. So whatever lesson Jesus is saying here must go right back to that same topic. And so this means to us that when Jesus finally shows up in the situation that you have been believing God for, will he find you at that point of faith, or would you have quit on the Lord? And many times people quit on the Lord after waiting a long time. You know how the Bible says that, you know, long hope wearies the heart. So people been waiting, you know, and waiting, and, you know, they just get tired, you know. I mean, they get tired. And people have a lot of things that weigh upon their minds, you know. I mean, they have to deal with this and they have to deal with that. I mean, we have women who have to deal with all their burdens. They got to care for their families. They got to care for this. They got to do. I mean, it's just, they're just overwhelmed. You know, and God forbid that they are single mothers. It's even compounded even more. You know, and they have to deal with all these things. You know, and sometimes they're waiting, I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm trusting. And sometimes they give up because it's just too much. But don't give up now. Wait just a little longer. Because the Lord, he is going to show up. And he always shows up. And when he shows up, it'll be like, well, you know, now you show up. 4 days ago, my brother was sick. And I was asking and sending prayer, you know, and that's just like us today. You know, sometimes things may get, you know, quite a bit worse before it actually gets better. I mean, they're believing God. They know Jesus cares about them. And then the man is sick and they're praying and Jesus doesn't show up. I mean, it's like, where is he when I need him? And now my brother is dead. You know, everybody hollering and crying and so on and mourning. And they buried the guy. My goodness. And it took even more days because, you know, these journeys of those days, they were days apart. They walked on foot. It took them days to get there. You know, and by the time Jesus finally showed up, it was 4 days too late, it seemed. Too late, they thought. Well, never with the Lord. Glory to God. Because the word that he spoke at the beginning, that this is not unto death, that word would never fall to the ground. Glory to God. And he said it. And said, well, he's dead now. Buried. We've rolled the stone there. I mean, by now he even stinketh. But Jesus said, don't worry about it. Hallelujah. I'm here now. See, that's what matters. He is here right now. Glory to God. You know, that story you can read for yourself. And you know the story. We've talked about it a few times on this platform. John chapter 11. You can read it all there. You know, and all of these stories in the Bible that bring out these points. You know, wait just a little longer, you know, keep on believing. Don't give up, because when you do give up, that may be when he will show up. And there is a lesson in Exodus chapter 15 about the children of Israel. They've been crying for the Lord to deliver them, and he did send Moses and pull them out by mighty hand, showing great, tremendous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, and even the crossing of the Red Sea and all of that. You know, but it seemed that everywhere they went, it was just trouble on every side. They couldn't even find any water, you know, to drink when they were in the wilderness. And when they found the water, it was bitter. First, they didn't have any water. And then when they found the water, it was actually bitter. And they couldn't even drink it. Of course, the Lord would take care of all of that. But, you know, these people complaining, grumbling, doing all kinds of things. I mean, even saying to the point that, look, you should have left us alone in Egypt. These people were the same ones that were crying unto God, because God said, you know, I have seen their affliction and now I hear their cry. But now they've forgotten they were crying, you know, and now they say, well, look, you know, you should have left us there. What shall we drink? Where will we go? And so forth, you know. And just right around the corner, while they were complaining about all this, Exodus chapter 15, and let's read it from, you know, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness offshore. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. I mean, didn't God say that he's going to take them into a land flowing with milk and honey? I mean, why? On the way, not find any water. I mean, thirst for 3 days. My goodness. Well, sometimes it gets worse before it actually gets better. And again, the Lord has to test some people and weed out all the unbelieving folks that are in their midst, you know, cause them to run around a few circles and get rid of all the ones that couldn't hold on. You know, sometimes people even wonder, you know, why the coming of the Lord is delayed. I mean, we've been talking about it. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, the apostles, they preached it. Everybody's been preaching it. The Lord is coming. Now the scoffers say, well, we don't know anything about that because you've been telling us forever that he's coming and everything remains the same. You know, but of course, they are not looking at the signs. But yeah, there's also another reason. You know, well, there are two reasons. First, according to Matthew 24 and 14, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then the end will come when we are preaching the true gospel of the kingdom, not whatever else they are preaching today. When that is done, the Lord will be ready to come. But more importantly, there is a wilderness that God's taking the people through and wear them out. Wear them out. And finally, when all the unbelieving and all the, you know, faithless people, the doubting people, when they are all wearied out, and suddenly he will appear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So they were grumbling, complaining about it. And listen to what they said. They murmured, you know, because when they came to Marah, first there was no water, 3 days. And then when they came to a place where there was actually water, they couldn't even drink of it because the water was bitter. And it was like, look, first, you don't give us any water. I mean, and then you bring us to this place and nobody can drink of this water. And they cried unto the Lord. I mean, they cried unto Moses, and Moses in turn cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him also a tree. And when he cast it into the waters, he healed the bitter waters. And God is still in the business of healing bitter waters today. Are there any bitter waters in your life? Well, instead of grumbling, complaining and so on, just hold on. Or just stay a little longer, you know, because these people didn't hold on. And if you drop down and read verse 27, they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70. That's 70 palm trees that God had prepared. And it was just around the corner. You know, but, you know, they grumbled. You know, they, you know, just murmured against the Lord. But God was fixing up something, cooking something. I love to say the Lord is cooking something. Can you smell it? Oh, yeah. He is cooking something. You know, God had this thing that he was preparing, you know, for them. And it was just around the corner. But he couldn't wait. Just wait just a little bit longer. But here's a man that would not give up. No matter how many times he tried, he failed. But he kept coming back. It's a beautiful story, which I love to use many times. And you all know this story. And it's in the book of John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, we're told that in those days, because of the mercies of the Lord, there was an angel that came in at a certain time, a certain season, stirred the pool, and whosoever then first stepped into the water after the stirring of the pool was made healed of whatsoever disease he had. And this man, he kept coming year after year, had an infirmity 38 years. Now, we don't know how many of those 38 years he came, but he came all the time. And so Jesus sees him lying down there, everybody camping out, waiting. They don't know exactly when it's going to come, but they know it's around this time. So they're all camping and they're edging a little closer to the water. You know, just imagine it. But this man, because he's crippled and he can't get up fast enough, you know, and some of the times they slumber, they sleep off, and next thing you know, they hear the water rumbling, and everybody gets up and try to get in there. And whoever gets in there first, he's the one that's healed. Others, not so much. And so this man also, but he kept trying. He kept coming. And Jesus found him. He said, look, will you be made whole? My goodness. Jesus knew what this man needed, and he asked him. So it was a simple question. Would you be made whole? And the man looks at Jesus and says, what kind of a question is that? I'm coming here every time, every season. I'm trying to get in this water. Just waiting for the angel. But every single time, I get so close, but someone else steps in ahead of me because of my condition. And I have no man to help me. And somebody always beats me to the punch. And here I am. Year after year, season after season, I keep coming. Of course I want to be made whole. Why do you think I'm here? But I don't know. You know, I've been coming, but it doesn't seem to be happening. But I've been coming anyway. I'm hoping that someday somebody will help me, put me in the water. But nobody's going to help you because they will help themselves. Everybody wants to get in there first. And Jesus looked at the man. Knowing his condition and how long he's been there, he had compassion on the man for his consistency, that he kept coming anyway. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. Today, don't worry about the angel, and don't worry about the water. I am right here. Glory to God. I want to say to somebody in this room today, or whoever else may be listening, you know, sometimes we are so focused on how we think the Lord is going to do it. So that's the way he did it before. That's the one we know about. And so we are so focused on that. And maybe it involved, you know, maybe God used somebody in the past, you know, to do something. And say, well, this time around, I have nobody to help me. Well, vain is the help of man. Let me put it to you right there. You know, and nobody is going to help you. You know, I know some people who are always hung up on, well, I have nobody to help me. I have nobody to pray. Who's going to help you? You need to help yourself. You need to believe God. The Lord is your help. Glory to God. He is our help in the time of trouble. A very present help. You don't need anybody. You know, well, sometimes, you know, the word of faith like this may help you to believe, stir something up in you. But you yourself must hold on a little longer. Anyway, as the story went, this man, that day, was healed. Hallelujah. All he had to do was hold on just a little longer, you know, because he didn't know. He could have been, you know, he could have given up the last five times that he came, maybe five visits ago, he gave up. He would not have been healed. Maybe four visits ago, three visits ago, two visits ago, and even last visit, you know, but he kept coming and he kept holding on. My goodness. And one day it was a day of his visitation. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on just a little longer. And now don't quit and don't run off. Now real faith will never give up. No matter what it looks like, you hold on just a little longer. God has already given you the word of promise. But everything looks like it's going in the opposite direction. Now, what are you going to do? Well, you hold on just a little longer. You know, you don't know whether it's going to be today, tomorrow, next week, next month, whatever it is. But you believe God now and you leave the rest to him. You know, one man, he had to hold on for 25 years. And the Lord gave him an incredible promise. He said, look, not only will you have a child, but your children will be like the stars of heaven. Like the sea, sand in the seashore, innumerable. And look, check it out. If you can count those stars, you know, that's how, you know, your children will be. But he didn't even have a child. And then he said, well, I believe God. I know God said it and he can do it too. I'm going to change my name to prove it. Glory to God. He said, well, Lord told me, but you know, he might have not done it. And you say, well, Lord told him to change his name. Well, he might not have done it, but he changed his name to prove it. And for 25 years, he changed his name. I said, don't call me that. Don't call me that anymore. This is my new name because I will be the father of nations. Father of nations. You don't even have a child. How in the world are you going to be father of nations? We have, look at our children here. All our children around about us. You know, we don't even call ourselves father of nations. But you don't even have a child. How in the world are you going to now at once do more valiantly than all of us put together? Father of nations indeed. But he said, yeah, I will be the father of nations. Because that's what he said. I'm going to change my name to prove it. And he changed his name and he carried that testimony, you know, confessed it for 25 years. Well, it might be just a little longer, just a little longer, just a little longer. Well, you know, he should have not listened to his wife either. Should have just held on just a little bit longer. Someday I'm going to ask him, you know, why didn't you just hold on a little bit longer? Well, you know how women can be sometimes. Maybe the woman will get on his case all the time. You know, and say, well, you know, fine, you know. I just say, look, fine. You know, a lot of men feel like that sometimes. But you see, God gives us our women to bring stability into our lives. And he always used the women to bring out some great value. Hallelujah. And there was reason for it. Even though it looked as if, you know, Sarah was getting on his case, God was using it to bring out, you know, the two allegories, you know, that God would eventually speak to us about. You know, the child that was made by works and not by faith. And then the child that came by promise. It was an important lesson. And God was going to use her to do that. But it brought a lot of problems, as you know. Till today, they still have to deal with, you know, the Arabs and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, he waited for it. And he did not give in or give up. And eventually the word of the Lord caught up with him. Now, what is the thing that you are waiting for? I want you to wait just, I ask you, I invite you, I encourage you, wait just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest until he does that thing that you are looking for. Well, men ought always to pray. You pray in the morning, you pray in the evening, pray in the afternoon. But I tell you I'll show you a more excellent way. Here is a more excellent way today. While you are praying and believing God, you know, make sure that your mouth is not saying something different than what you are praying about, you know, and rather speak the word only and confess it and praise him for it. Even while you are waiting, glory to God. And you know, God doesn't always tell you exactly when he'll show up because he wants you to be believing, but he's going to show up. Now, when he does show up though, would you have packed it in? Would you have stopped believing? Will he meet you at that point of faith still? So hold on just a little longer. And I'm going to be praying in just a bit. I've got some good news. As I said at the beginning of this room today, I have some good news. Glory to God. Now, good news is what Jesus himself said. It will not tarry long. And though it seemed like it tarry, you wait for it because he's coming soon. He's coming for you. Glory to God. Coming into that situation. But you know, there were many impotent men, many of them, right there in John chapter 5. You know, there were many, a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered. They were all waiting. But Jesus went to just the one. Well, the rest of them, he left them there to keep on waiting for the stirring of the pool. You know, but this one, it was the day of his visitation. Powerful lesson, you know, because if you keep on believing, you don't know, it may be you that will be selected. And just keep on believing. But really, this is our responsibility. Your responsibility is to stand in the point of faith. Now, if he takes the Lord 4 days to show up after the situation gets even worse, that's his business. My business is to believe, right? You know, and well, Martha had enough sense to say, well, if you were here, she thought at first, my brother would not have died. But nevertheless, even now, yeah, whatever you ask God, he'll give it to you. You know, nevertheless, and even now, no matter the situation, you hang in there, hold on just a little bit longer. Now, there's some of you that God's giving you a word. You know, maybe something that God was going to do for you. Maybe he gave you something. Some people seek the Lord at the beginning of the year, at the close of the year, at the beginning of God, and God gives you a word, and you're believing God, but it looks like everything's going the opposite direction. Hold on just a little bit longer. If that word came from God, it cannot, will not return void. Can't do it. Once the word of God is spoken, it sustains itself. The word of God doesn't need any help. And if it did, God knows how to fix it up. Hallelujah. You know, but it will sustain itself. You just believe God. Listen, there are mighty angels on standby. Just waiting. According to Psalm 103 and verse 20, they're waiting, they're hearkening to the voice of his word. They do his commandments. If you give voice to that word, they'll go into action. All you got to do, instead of grumbling, instead of feeling sorry for yourself, instead of having a pity party, you believe God and you praise the Lord. And he will show up and he will surprise you because he's always able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. We cannot outthink or outimagine God. If you can think it, he can do it. And then some. Hallelujah. So the Lord is good, but you gotta wait just a little bit longer. And cast your mind back while you're waiting to all the great things that the Lord has done. This is what the children of Israel failed to do. They forgot all the deliverances of God and the mighty miracles that God showed them in the land of Egypt. To the which even when the Lord was slaying everything around them, he gave them commandment to put the blood upon their doorposts and the angel of death will pass over them. And he got to the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea in front of these are incredible things that people had never seen before. Yet, you know, when something else came up against them or they come up to another situation, they quickly forgot. You know, and then they started to grumble. And this is the problem with a lot of people. They quickly forget and they start to grumble. But you will not be like that. You will not be a grumbler. You will be one that remembers, you know, the goodness of the Lord. You will remember his works of old. Hallelujah. And you will use that to strengthen yourself for the present conflict. But hold on. Just a little bit longer. Now, what is it that you are believing God for? Sometimes, you know, sometimes people even, you know, it can be anything. It can be in family. It could be in health. It could be in business. It could be your children. It could be anything that you're believing God for. Whatever it is, and you know what it is. You know, sometimes the heart will sway one way or another. Your soul really is what's trying to give in. But don't let that soul drive you. You take hold of the word of God. You know, I've taught it many times on this platform. When you are faced with situations where your soul will doubt, fear, you know, getting depressed and in distress and depression and so forth. That's the soul. That's how the soul does its thing. But in your spirit, you latch on to the word of God. Because according to Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is a powerful, powerful thing. And it can divide asunder even the soul and the spirit. And the soul is unbelieving, fearful, doubting, depressed, and so forth. In your spirit, latch onto the word of God. You put that soul under. You say, I will yet praise the Lord for the light of his countenance. Hold on. Just a little bit longer. I am going to pray right now in the name of Jesus. And the Lord, you know, I was going to do something else this morning, but just before this room started, he asked me, switched it to this. And that means you need this. Somebody needs a little booster here this morning. And I want to say to you, I got good news. Hallelujah. You know, one time I said on this platform, look, soon you'll be singing the song that says, what we waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. But you got to wait. If you don't wait, then you won't be able to sing that song. But just wait a little longer. And before you know it, you'll be singing the song that says, what we've waited for, what I waited for, my goodness, has now come to pass. See what the Lord has done. And even people, they're going to say, wow, see what the Lord has done for her. See what the Lord has done for him. Hallelujah. In the words of, and I'm going to give this to you and I'm going to pray over the room now. In the words of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 12. Powerful declaration that the Lord gave. Of course, just before that, he talks about his word that will not return to him void. And that his word will always sustain itself. It must prosper in the thing whereunto it is sent. It must accomplish the purpose that God sent it for, and so on and so forth. But here is what I want to say to you today. I'm going to read it from verse 11, but verse 12 is really the one that I'm going to pray with. Verse 11 of 55, Isaiah says, so shall my word be. How? Well, as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow and cannot return there, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not turn unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent. That's it. You know, God already put that blessing smack down on every word of his that goes out of his mouth. And it can't be changed. It cannot be disannulled. That's it. It will sustain itself. For ye shall go out with joy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good news. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills. You know, sometimes these mountains and these hills, you know, I mean, they are like overwhelming. You know, it looks like they, you know, just dwarf you and everything. And you just can't seem to get past them. But look, with the strength of the Lord, you know, you can leap over mountains, climb every mountain, go around you, do whatever it takes. We covered that already multiple times in this room. But today, here's the good news. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Not many days hence. And all the trees of the field. Glory to God. God will begin to line up people to celebrate the goodness of God in your life. Begin to clap their hands. Hallelujah. Your celebration is just around the corner. Hold on just a little bit longer. Trees of the field will clap their hands. Mountains and hills will break forth into singing. Because the Lord said, look, no matter what happens, you know, mountains may be removed, hills may depart, and so forth and so on. But my covenant of peace shall never depart from you. You know, and I will even the sure mercies of David. As I have spoken it, it's coming. It's coming upon you. Glory to God. Isaiah 54 and 10. Mountains may depart. Hills may be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed from you. Saith the Lord that hath mercy on you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up everyone that's in this room within the sound of my voice today, that they will believe God. It's a new day. Hallelujah. Yesterday's gone. Can't do anything about that, ladies and gentlemen. It is a new day. And as I often admonish people, in the morning, when you wake up, it's a good day. You command the womb of the morning. And that, such as I am doing right now. It's still morning here in Arizona. I know for some of you, it may already be, you know, midday or whatever. But it's morning. You know, and I'm going to speak to the womb of the morning. Glory to God. Command the beauties of holiness. Hallelujah. Now, I command the beauties of holiness in the womb of the morning, such as this. Well, let your day be pregnant with good things. Hallelujah. That day will bring forth good things for today. That's right. That's today. Not yesterday. Yesterday is already gone. But today, I'll bring forth good things. Good tidings. Hallelujah. Mountains and hills singing on your behalf. Even the ground sing underneath you, if you know how to praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, victory is yours. Just wait a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. And Jesus said, look, I know thy works, but thou hast a little strength, but you waited. You kept the word of my patience. Hallelujah. And when you do that, even if it's just a little strength, he'll come to you. Glory to God. As he dew upon the mown grass, he'll come to you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord says, I will joy over you with joy. Hallelujah. And the Lord loves to beautify the meek with salvation. He loves to give you the oil of gladness. You know, in place of the ashes and in place of the mourning and all of that. And you can take upon yourself the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. He'll do that for you too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. He does all these things so that he can even plan the heavens and say to everybody that you are his beloved and his chosen, and that he might be glorified. Lord, I ask, Lord, a quickening spirit upon that dead seed. Hallelujah. Jesus said one time, John 12 and 24, except the seed fall to ground and die, that abides alone. But when he dies, a quickening power of God will come upon you. That thing that appears dead, I speak to it by the word of the Lord. Let it come alive in Jesus' name. And you yourself, you speak to it. Glory to God. You shake yourself from the dust. You loose thyself from the bands around your neck. And you sit down and rejoice. You know, the Lord, you know, he spoke that point blank to women. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Thou captive daughter of Zion. You know, because sometimes, you know, the women just burden down with so many things. You know, and they are under tremendous pressure sometimes. But the Lord loves the women. He loves, you know, everybody really. But he gives grace, you know, to them as well. And say, look, shake yourself from the dust. Isaiah 52 and 2. Lose yourself when it bands around your neck. Don't let the devil put any of that depressing spirit upon you. It is a new day. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And it's just around that corner. Before you know it, you'll be singing the song that says, see what the Lord has done. What we waited for has come to pass, but you gotta wait. And it will come to pass. Because the word of the Lord will not fall to the ground. Thank you, Father. May the Lord crown your day with beauty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One day at a time, step after step, as you take it by faith in the Lord. Keep your eyes on the promise. Hallelujah. And put your mouth right there too. And declare the goodness of the Lord for yourself all the time. It's just around the corner. I'm waiting just a little bit longer and it's coming. Encourage your children too. You know, to wait just a little bit longer. Encourage people around you. Encourage yourself, your soul. That's what David did all the time. My soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him for the light of his countenance. The Lord bless you, bless everyone. And may he cause the sweetness. You know, the Bible says, you know, an angel being caused swiftly to fly to Daniel brought the result. But there was a prince of Persia holding back, you know, and so forth. Well, you know, that was then, but this is now. We have the power now to cast down imaginations, to dislodge all the wicked spirits that are trying to hold back your blessing. You have that power. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. The power of the enemy to withstand your prayer, you know, to block the heavens so that the answer wouldn't get through to you. Jesus said, I give you power over that. So in the name of the Lord, I dislodge all the wicked spirits. Holding back the answer which God has already sent forth for you. And may the answer has come through. Glory to God. God gives the word. Let it be hastened by many. I will publish it and establish it in your life. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. For the Lord has said, go down there to one of the angels and make sure that what she's proclaiming and believing for comes to pass. And do it quickly. What thou doest, do quickly. Don't delay. Make sure you go down there and make it happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hold on just a little bit longer. Just around the corner. it will not tarry, and he will come through for you. Blessings to everyone that's in the room and those that are listening through the replays. God bless you all. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson for today.